Okay, so we are now moving into the bracha of Ritzei, into the closing stretch of Shemoneh Esrei. With this bracha, we begin the last part of Shemoneh Esrei, the three brachos of Hodah of Thanksgiving. The first bracha is Ritzei, which our Chachamim called Avoda. The second is Modim, which was called Hodah. And the third and final bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is Sim Shalom, which Rav Shimon Schwab tells us is known as Birchos Kohanim. Rav Shimon Shmuel Hirsch explains that the bracha of Ritzei corresponds to the menachos that were part of the daily avoda. The menachos were brought after most of the karbonos. The bracha of Ritzei expresses a thought that has not yet been expressed at all in Shmoneh Esrei, just as the menachos expresses a new thought that was not yet expressed by the karbon proper. The mincha, as used in connection with karbonos, is used to convey the idea of a token gift as an expression of friendship. It is this idea that the expression of our love to Hashem, which lies at the root of the meaning of the bracha of Ritzei. This bracha follows Shema Kolenu, where we went on to beseech Hashem to accept all of our tefillos. However, we realize that no matter how sincere our words of tefillah are, they are merely a substitute for the ultimate avoda of Hashem, the karbonos. In this bracha, we ask that the true avoda be restored. Rav Avraham Chaim Feuer says that this bracha was said as number 17, because tefillah is called tov, and the numerical value of tov is 17. As the Medrash teaches us, the Navi said to Hashem, Kol tisa avon v'kach tov u'neshamal parim sifaseinu. And the Navi was echoing the words of Klal Yisrael, that when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, we could offer korbanos to atone for our sins. But now, all we can offer is tov, the goodness of our tefillah. And the Gemara states, Rabbi Yehuda said that the supplicant should not make any requests during the first three brachos or the last three brachos of Shemoneh Esrei. Or all requests should be limited to the middle brachos. As Rav Chanina taught, during the first three brachos, the supplicant resembles a servant who spells out the praises of his master before he makes his requests. In the middle brachos, the supplicant is like a servant who presents his petition. And in the final three brachos, the supplicant resembles a servant whose wishes have been granted and is taking leave of his master. Rashi and Tosfos observe that, in fact, we do make requests of Hashem, even in these last three brachos. The first of the three, Ritzei, is a plea for the restoration of the Avoda. And the last, Sim Shalom, is a lengthy list of requests for peace, goodness, and all manners of blessing. And the Rush explains that since these are requests for the general welfare of the entire community, they actually serve to praise and glorify Hashem, because His servants are proclaiming that the entire public depends on Him. Therefore, these requests do not detract from the theme of thanksgiving, which dominates the last section of the Amidah. And Rav Avraham Chaim Feuer says, in a deeper sense, this teaches us that there's a fundamental difference between thanks offered to man and thanks expressed to Hashem. After receiving assistance from his fellow man, the best thanks the recipient can offer is to say, "Thank you, you've been so helpful and generous that I no longer need your help." With Hashem, the opposite is true. The more one receives from Hashem, the more one recognizes how utterly dependent he is on Hashem, not just for the special needs he requested, but even for the simplest needs that he always took for granted. In this sense, the sincerest form of gratitude and praise to Hashem is to immediately request more of him. The Siddur Yaivetz quotes the Shlach HaKadosh that when reciting this bracha, one should concentrate on asking Hashem to accept this tefillah in place of the daily korban, and that Hashem should allow us to serve Him in the Beis HaMikdash once again. So the bracha opens, and we say, Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu Ba'amcha Yisrael Uvesvilasam. Rav Shimon Schwab says that on the surface, these opening words seem to be a redundancy of the words of the previous bracha, where we said, Ki Ata Shomea Tfilas Amcha Yisrael Barachamim. We seem now to be starting all over again. Furthermore, in the previous bracha, we said, Tfilas Amcha Yisrael, but here we have the wording, Ba'amcha Yisrael Uvesvilasam, in which the emphasis is on the Amcha Yisrael. And he explains that the tefillah of Ritzei, as we said, was formulated to express a new idea, not yet previously included in the Shemoneh Esrei. And what we're doing here is we're requesting that Hashem willingly accept your nation Yisrael and its tefillos. It is our tefillah here that Hashem accept the Jewish nation of instilling Kiddush Hashem in the world. The source of the mitzvah of tefillah, as we know, is from the pasuk "Ula'avdo b'chol levavchem." And up until this point, tefillah has been one of B'chol Levavchem, in which we have asked Hashem with all of our heart that we be the recipients of a whole list of bracha from him for spiritual and physical well-being, both on the individual and also on communal levels. However, in this bracha, the subject of the words are uvechol nafshechem. This is a new area of tefillah in which we do not ask Hashem to give us anything. Rather, we're mispal to Hashem for Hashem. We're attempting to give something to Hashem. We want to be a mashpia, a giver, instead of a makabel, a recipient. We want to make a kiddush Hashem in the world. So we now can understand that there's no redundancy in this bracha. As before, we were asking to receive something, and now we just want to give. Rav Yitzchak Kirzner asks that in no other part of Shemoneh Esrei do we refer to ourselves in third person. Elsewhere, we ask for things for ourselves, it's always in the first person. And the Siddur HaGra explains this tefillah addresses our returning to our Creator. And we don't have the audacity to believe that we have enough schusim, enough merit, to be worthy of doing that as individuals. We merit returning to the source only because collectively we are your people. We might individually merit benefiting from any of the 13 requests that we made for ourselves, but we can merit returning to Hashem only by being part of his representatives in this world. We can never generate sufficient spiritual merit to deserve it individually. Another reason is that we are on good terms with someone, and when we see him as being like us, we want to listen to what he has to say. When we dislike someone and see him as being alien to us, it's difficult to listen to him, no matter how much sense he might make. In this tefillah, we ask Hashem to see us not as independent beings, but as part of himself. We are your nation, and then he will listen to our tefillah. The tefillah continues, V'hashev es havoda l'dvir be'secha. The means by which the Jewish nation expresses its closest connection with Hashem is the avodas hakarbonos, and its reinstitution in the Beis HaMikdash will bring about the greatest kiddush Hashem in the world. The term avoda means serving Hashem without expecting any payment in return, and this characterizes the karbonos in general. But here we not only ask for the return of the avoda, but rather for ha-avoda, which refers to the avoda of Yom Kippurim, which is the highest level of the karbonos. This phrase definitely refers to the avodas Yom Kippurim, because we ask for the service to be returned to the Devir Beisecha, which is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We are mispalel here for the return of the greatest Kiddush Hashem in the world, the performance of the avoda of Yom Kippur in the Devir Beisecha. Rav Shimon Schwab once again points out that the meaning of Ritzei is completely different than the brachos we offered up until this point in Shemoneh Esrei. In Ritzei, we ask nothing for ourselves. Rather, we ask that through the return of the avoda, especially the avoda of Yom Kippur, the purpose of creation shall be realized when the Shekhinah will permeate the world and Malchus Shemayim shall be recognized by all of mankind. The tefillah continues, V'isha Yisrael usfilosam bahavas kabel beratzon. This refers to the ordinary daily karbonos, which were accompanied by tefillos. Rav Avraham Chaim Feuer asks, this request for Hashem to accept the Isha Yisrael, our fire offerings, seems odd since we cannot bring karbonos in our times. So the Gra explains that some place Isha Yisrael at the conclusion of the previous phrase, and it reads, return the service and the fire offerings of Klal Yisrael. The Torah says that this phrase refers really to the words of tefillah, which are in lieu of the karbonos. And we daven that Hashem accept these words with love and favor as if they were the actual karbonos. And the Bach says it's directly referring to the three times each day we daven. And then the word usfilosam refers to additional tefillos that we recite in addition to the scripted ones. The Torah brings another explanation and cites that the Medrash, that when Klal Yisrael davens, when a Jew davens with sincere love for Hashem, their souls soar heavenward on wings of tefillah. And Malach Michal takes these fiery souls and places them on the celestial Mizbeach, where they are regarded as fire offerings to Hashem. Thus the word Ishei combines both Eish, fire, and Ishman, referring to the impassioned supplicant who is consumed by the flaming love for Hashem and sacrifices Hashem himself to Hashem. The Yaris Devash states that when a person recites this bracha, he should fill his heart with a tremendous desire to sacrifice his life for Kiddush Hashem. Yerichiel Sparrow explains that inside every Jew there's a spark that glows and smolders, It's the pintle of Yid that burns with a flaming desire to be close to Hashem. And we're asking Hashem here to accept our tefillos and also look inside our heart to see the desire we have to be close to Him. Whether that fire is blazing or has been reduced to embers that barely flicker, we ask Hashem to see even deeper how close we want to be. How great would the flames radiate if we were not suppressed by the myriad challenges we face daily? And when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, then those difficulties that block our love for Him will be removed, and that burning desire we have to serve Him will finally be actualized. Rav Shimon Schwab points out it does not say Usfilosam Tekabel Ba'ahava V'Ratzon, but we say Usfilosam Ba'ahava Tekabel V'Ratzon. And what we're saying is, may you accept the goodwill, the fire offerings of Klal Yisrael and their tefillos offered out of love. Tefillos offered out of love are those in which we ask nothing for ourselves. Out of love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask only that Hashchina may permeate the world. He also points out we do not say Tekabel Berachamim, but rather Tekabel Beratzon, because we're not asking anything for ourselves for which the term mercy would be appropriate. Rather, all we ask here is that we may be pleasing in the eyes of Hashem and that He grant our wishes that His Shechina shall return to this world. We continue, Sihi L'Ratzon, Tamid Avodas Yisrael Amecha. However, as long as there's no Beis HaMikdash, no Dvir Beisecha, and no Karbonos, we substitute our tefillos for them. And we are therefore mispalel that our avoda, our tefillah, even without the benefit of the Karbonos, always Tamid, be willingly accepted by Hashem. In this context, Avodas Yisrael refers specifically to our tefillah for the return again of Kiddush Hashem to the world, which will remove the vast Chillul Hashem which is currently so prevalent. This means we're asking Hashem to allow His name to be recognized first by all of Yisrael Amcha, and consequently following our example by the whole world. V'sechezena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion b'rachimim. Rav Shimon Schwab says that Rav Breuer once told him that the word chizoyon is used to mean to see with prophetic eyes. To actually conceptualize the return of the Shechina to Tzion, one will need the vision of a Navi. And Chazal tell us, Asar Nisim nasu l'avoseinu Beis HaMikdash, there were 10 Nisim that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Schwab points out that it's obvious that in addition to the 10 listed there, much of the Avoda was only possible through Nisim. But in order to see these Nisim, which are a manifestation of the Shechina, in Yerushalayim, it requires visionary eyes similar to that of a Navi. And it is this insight that we ask for when we say V'sechazena einenu b'shuvcha l'tzion. However, we add Berachamim, because without Rachamim, we would be unworthy of being blessed with the ability to see all these activities surrounding the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash for what they really are. Obvious open Nisim. Rabbi Leib Chassman says the Chazal warn us to guard our eyes very carefully and to prevent them from seeing impure sights. He says the eye is a truly marvelous machine, yet even the tiniest speck of dust can interfere with vision and force a person to shut his eye tight. Similarly, with regard to spiritual vision, we are capable of witnessing the revelation of Hashem's glory only if we keep our eyes pure. Exposure to forbidden sights contaminates our eyes and shuts down our vision. The eyes love to wander everywhere, and they are the main agents of the Yetzer Hara in bringing us to sin. They are very hard to control, and we must pour out our hearts in tefillah and shed many tears begging Hashem to help us regulate our wayward eyes. Rav Avim Chaim Foyer says, for this reason, we daven sechazena einenu b'shuvcha, grant us the privilege of utilizing our eyes for holy matters and spare them from profaning them, chas v'sholom. And the bracha concludes, Baruch atah Hashem, hamachzir shechinaso l'tzion. And this bracha is said in the present tense, although it has not yet happened, because we have such emuna that Hashem will return His presence to Tzion that we can visualize it before our eyes as if it has already taken place. And to close with the story and then the homework, so the story actually, since I was supposed to do this vod last week, is something I was told on last week's parsha that ties into this concept. So back in Parshas Vayetze, the Torah tells us that Leah gave birth to Yehuda. And the pasuk there tells us, Hapam Odes Hashem, she thanked Hashem. And then the pasuk says, "Vatamud miledes," she no longer had children. The question is asked, how come after she thanked Hashem, did she then stop having children? If anything, for showing her thanks, she should have therefore continued to have children. And an answer that's given is that all Leah did there was she thanked Hashem, but no more. She did not ask Hashem to continue giving her. And we see from here the importance of asking Hashem to continue to do good for us, even when we thank Him for His goodness, as we mentioned earlier in the introduction. And that's why we are able to make requests for the klal during this part of Shemoneh Esrei. And the homework, obviously, is to focus at least once on the aspect of this tefillah, what we're saying, what we're asking for, what the requests for the klal is, and in that way, we won't have to ask for the karbonos any longer, but we'll be zocha to actually bring these karbonos. B'mehera b'yameinu. Amen.